Welcome to the Rooted Woman Podcast. I'm your host, Bethany Wild, and I'm an author and mother. Here we have conversations on sovereign and instinctual womanhood and motherhood, cultivating thriving wellness, and much more. Listen to powerful birth and healing stories and topics on the wild woman experience. You can check out all I offer, including herbal elixirs for wild mothers and women, my book on pelvic healing, and all the show notes for these episodes at bethanywild.com. Now for the show. Welcome everyone to another episode of the Rooted Woman Podcast. This is Bethany Wild. And today I am sharing my conversation with Erica Worth that I had with her several months ago on her podcast, and I thought it'd be fun to share it on mine, and she also did the same on hers, since if you remember, I interviewed her about her birth story and her motherhood stories, which she reshared as well. And yeah, I'll just give a quick intro and then get into just sharing the conversation that we had on her podcast, which is a lot about me and my personal story, how I got into the work that I did, why I kind of stopped doing my work, or how it's evolved really as I have stepped into motherhood. I share a little bit about, you know, my preconception time and spirit babies and all of those things. And I really enjoy talking with her. It was fun to, focus on myself and share my story. And I've done a few interviews in the past, and really, we just shift so much with motherhood. So it's like every time I try to tune into what I'm going to say about myself, it's kind of a different thing, as so many of you can probably relate. Just how much we are changed by motherhood, how much our, it's a total identity shift. And so I really felt the call to do that with my work and have it evolve. And it's continuing to evolve as I get into more the space where I want to focus on writing. I really have had this dream of this second book that is just, so much to say there on the lack of time I have, or probably more accurately, the lack of energy I have when I do have the time, because I do have the time technically. But I think it's all really in perfect divine timing anyway. So when Erica reached out to me, we kind of began an online friendship where we send voice memos back and forth. And we've been doing that ever since we first connected. And I just really enjoy talking with her. I think she is just such a, her energy is so contagious and so inspiring. And I love her just innate curiosity and just energy. I really enjoy her. And so I've appreciated having that friendship with someone who is in a similar space to me, who's a mom doing the podcasting. And it's just been sweet. So let's see. I know there was a bit of a gap between my last episode and this one. If you've been following me on social media, you might have seen that I have been in a pregnancy cave. And even though I'm in my second trimester, that's kind of still the case. I do have a plan to share more about that in the last episode of this season, where I'll kind of just share everything about my experience that I feel called to share. I've been pretty private about it, But it has made me less productive, as you can maybe imagine. So I'm still continuing to put out these episodes. I have a couple of more interviews, conversations that are going to come out before the end of this season. I don't know that I'll be doing it every 2 week frequency, but they will continue to come out. So if you stay subscribed, you will be receiving those new episodes as they come out. And this season will end on the summer solstice break for the summer. What's kind of interesting is that I have planned for it to come back on the autumn equinox, which is my birthing window. So we will see how much I get done as far as pre-recording to release at that time. I have no idea how out of it, in it, I will be. So just a warning there. But I love this podcast. I love having these conversations and bringing them out to you guys. So it will continue. I just can't promise the frequency in this very intense season of pregnancy, early motherhood, postpartum, all of that. But follow me on social media and you'll probably stay in the loop a little bit more than you would be here. All right, so I will go ahead and stop here and lead you into my very personal conversation with Erica.
Welcome, Bethany, to the Crunchy Mom Club podcast. I love that we are starting to become friends, mama friends, and our fellow podcasters, and living this dance, as we were talking about, between motherhood and creating something that's being shared with the world, which I think, like, motherhood can be very internal. And then we both have podcasts, we have that in common, which is very external. And there's like this dance that we do between the two. And it's just fun to get to find someone else who's in that world and in that season. So thank you for saying yes to coming on the podcast. And I would love if you could share with listeners a little bit about who you are, and maybe as a mother, and then professionally, what your work has been, a little bit about your podcast. I saw recently you came up on 1 year of 1 year anniversary of your podcast, which is just a huge celebration. So congratulations on that.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm excited to be here. I'm honored that you wanted to chat with me and hear about my story. Yeah, and I love connecting with another fellow podcaster. You're probably the only mom podcaster friend that I know. So it's cool to connect with you. Okay, so my name is Bethany Wild. Right now, I host the Rooted Woman podcast, and it's been really, really fun. It's been about a year, and we have really similar conversations to what you have on here, talking to women and mothers and kind of, you know, mothering outside of the system. I bring in free birth stories. So we cover a lot of different things, and it's just evolving. So for years, I was a womb and pelvic body worker and healing guide. I did that for a number of years before I conceived my daughter, and my work has really evolved since then. And I've always felt a real calling to women's work, and my path wasn't so clear cut. So I tried a lot of different ways to kind of get into that work and just kind of feel into what would be most resonant for me. And eventually it just led to me going to massage school and pursuing that path of just hands-on body work. And I went to school with this really clear intention that I was going to work in the womb and pelvic area because I felt really drawn to that area. I had done a lot of healing work personally that has changed my life in a lot of ways. And there just wasn't a lot out there for women who wanted to do that work with someone else. So, I mean, this wasn't even that long ago. This was maybe like, I don't know, 6 years ago. There just weren't a lot of body workers who did that kind of work. Now there's so many, which is amazing. So I found like a lot of women who came to me were also interested in that work and maybe wanted to pursue that work, you know, in their own lives. So anyway, it started out really just physical massage, body work, doing those techniques. I did a lot of workshops and trainings and mentorship with women that I admired. And then I started to kind of bring in my own intuition and blend with my own energy work that I kind of just started to develop. And then, yeah, you know, as I got closer to opening the portal for my own pregnancy and being pregnant, it really evolved into what I would call like a more shamanic style. Like it was very much energy work based. And yeah, it was really profound and transformative and deep healing spaces with women. And then as I became a mother, things really changed a lot. I started to go back to work and being in these healing spaces with women about 3 months postpartum, and everything felt so different. My energy system was just blown open so much. So I had to develop a lot of tools and boundaries and clearing techniques for all the things that I was starting to pick up, because it did get a lot more energetic too after having her. So yeah, I really came to the place where I felt like it wasn't compatible with my early mothering, because it would take me, and I definitely developed the tools and techniques to clear all the energy that I'd gathered up. But yeah, it was a lot of kind of processing after each session. And yeah, it just felt like I was just putting out so much in my mothering all the time. I just didn't have the energy that women really deserved from me and that I used to have in those sessions. So I really felt a call to kind of transform my work, and so I can be at home more with her, and just honoring the season that I was in. So I've moved my work more into writing. I wrote a book about pelvic healing, which is that other aspect that I love of kind of giving the power and the tools and the techniques back to women to do their own healing. And there's always a beautiful need for a guide, but that's just, you know, that's just my season right now, where I'm just giving these tools and this information back to women instead of being in these one-on-one spaces with them. So that's where it came from, and that's kind of where I'm at now, and just following my intuition along the way as far as what I have energy for when, as you know, like being home full time with a little one is so full on.
Yeah, I'm curious for you. I was just speaking to another woman who has a podcast and runs a business too this week about there's two extremes, I guess I'll say it this way, since I have mom brain and can't think of the word. It's either I'm going to work full time and, you know, go outside the home every day sort of thing, or I'm going to stay at home and put like all my dreams on hold until my kids are grown up. And I think like for myself, in growing up in a home where my mom more leaned towards the latter, I kind of thought those were your only two options. I didn't realize, and I mean, granted, technology isn't what it, you know, now what it was then. And so, I mean, maybe that would have been a much more difficult to do what like you and I are doing and be home with our littles while also pursuing and following our our intuition and our creative downloads and putting them into form and sharing them with the world. So I'm curious, like, what is your why for continuing to follow a creative, like, yes, it's changed, but a creative path and a path of like still facilitating healing in a very different way than you did before you were a mother? Like, what would be your kind of the fire that continues to fuel that, this dance between the two?
Right. That's a good question, because it does take, I mean, on one hand, it's like, it does take from our mothering and it's more difficult, but it's also life-giving. I think some women, they do feel really fulfilled and satisfied by just mothering. I think in these times, there's so many more of us that feel so, I don't think ambitious is the right word, but we kind of just, we long for an identity and a purpose outside of motherhood.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. Sometimes I wonder, what if we truly didn't have to make money? Would we still feel the desire? I don't know. I mean, I definitely don't. There are a lot of projects I do that I don't make money off of, and I just get a lot of fulfillment out of it. I don't know. I guess I'm still, yeah, I mean, I definitely have a desire. I've always been a very ambitious person and wanted to have my own creative projects outside of motherhood. Like when I was writing my book, it was the most fulfilling thing. I woke up at 3 a.m. every morning. I was just so excited. Everything, like the output that I was doing really filled me up in addition to the mothering. It's like, I don't know, I guess I could just say that it's very fulfilling to me to have these projects. And yeah, and the podcast is so fun to have these conversations that really shift my everyday life and my mothering and inspire me too. Yeah, what is your reason and why?
Yeah, I was talking to one of my really good friends who became a mother like 3 weeks after me, and about this very thing. And I described it as like, I mean, I feel like I am definitely a better mother when I am, I mean, for instance, the podcast, like I am growing as a human being by talking to these people and having the ability to connect with them. And yes, I want to share that with other people also. And it's really fulfilling to hear how other people, how it's resonating, how their life is shifting because of a conversation that they heard on the podcast, because it's shifting mine too. And for the better. I mean, I think of, especially as I've pivoted to more of the motherhood, more exclusively talking about motherhood, the people that been able to speak to, it's been stuff I would not have probably found any other way. Like it's so, yeah. I think impacts my son for the better that I am continuing this work. And I mean, I remember, oh gosh, it was probably 5 months when I still lived in Portland, I just started up this gluten-free, grain-free bread business out of nowhere as a 5-month postpartum mom. And like, it was crazy. Like I was driving all around town in my car with my baby delivering bread to people's houses, but it was also so fulfilling. Yeah. So yeah. I don't know. I just think it's not that like mothering isn't enough. I actually think, I don't know what you think about like ancestral times, but it seems to me that women played a really prominent role in the communities when it came to trade and like money stuff. And so I don't think that it's, I almost wonder if it is almost, if it's more traditional in a sense for women to play a role in a very different way than like what we saw with the Industrial Revolution, where women were like forced outside the home. I think that more of the ancient way is that they're doing these things, whether that's like food or teaching or something that feels much more in flow with motherhood, but they're still being a part of the economy. I think that's actually really healthy. And I don't know if there's something like in me and in you and these women that are doing it, that we feel like there's something really natural about that. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
That is interesting. There's so many different cultures, but I have in my head that there used to be a time where men would be out in the community and doing political things maybe, and then women would be in the home caretaking and, you know, cooking and doing all the home things. But, you know, now that you're talking about women being a part of trade and commerce in a sense, that also makes sense too and feels intuitive. I wonder how much though that mothers would do versus the maidens and the elder women, because I feel like mother, out of all people, it would be the mothers who would do the least in that sense, like in community in that way. But I don't know, I'm really open to hearing about what it was like, because it does feel natural to me to engage in, you know, creation outside of my child. I guess it's an internal dialogue with myself, just like it sounds like you're having too, of just like, what is it, just something different about me? Is it the culture? Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting to just kind of think about and unpack.
Yeah, which I've like honestly until this moment not really done. So yeah, I'm like, yeah, that's an interesting thing, yeah, to think about.
What's, but what's natural?
Yeah, because since I have become a mother, which, you know, first I was a stepmother, working full time outside the home never felt natural. So I know for me, like that part doesn't fit. Like it just does not feel intuitive. It doesn't fit. But what I have done since I've like had my son, even though there is that kind of sometimes that tension you have to explore between the two, it does feel natural in a sense. There is an element that feels very right too. So yeah, that's just an interesting thing. I would love if you could talk to us a little bit about what your journey into motherhood with your daughter was. And I guess maybe in the specific realm of, you know, I think of someone who was already deeply immersed in womb work and pelvic work and healing and energetic work. So you entered it probably a lot more aware of the dynamics and the shifts that take place when we move through the different phases of womanhood. But I'm curious, when you actually experienced it, and by it, I mean like stepping into motherhood, was it different than what you thought? Like what surprised you? What was that process of integration once you actually were there at the threshold? What was that like?
That's such a great question, because now I really feel like we can't truly be prepared. You know, I think I was interested for so many years in becoming a mother. Not when I was younger, it was when I started to get into womb work and connecting with my own womb and my body that I felt really strongly that that was my path. So I built a connection with it over a few years. I got immersed in the free birth community and feeling into what my choices would be and just kind of preparing my life and my body. And I sat with mothers all the time and I heard their stories and I heard the birth stories and I thought I was prepared. And I think I was prepared for pregnancy, but definitely not motherhood. Now I feel really clear, and I posted this online before, that I feel like the best preconception preparation is to be in community with mothers and listen to them and serve them and learn from them. And I did not really do that. I didn't really pursue that. And I have, you know, I wish that I had just been in that role more to be in service to them. But I think, like so many of us, we just don't know. I think the modern maiden mind is very self-absorbed, and children are just not part of our society. They're just really pushed aside. I've been thinking about that so much lately. I think school is a big part of that. So yeah, I just had no idea. So the whole motherhood thing was really, really brand new to me. It was instinctual in a sense, but also not really, because I think a part of that is like a blend of instinct and modeling and learning. So I had a really hard transition into mother from maiden. It was like a lot of illusion that I and romanticization that I just had to let go. But I had a beautiful pregnancy. I had a great birth. And then just a lot of initiations afterwards. And I feel really good now. I feel really centered and like mothering is a lot more easeful now. So yeah, it's been a journey.
Yeah, I feel like that's so convicting, like for people to hear, because I know I have said it myself, even since becoming a mother, that whole notion of maidenhood, and we don't even call it maidenhood, like at the general, you know, culture, like we're calling, you know, it's being like single, which like speaks to the individualistic nature of North America. but it's this whole idea of like, oh, okay, now, because being a mother is like so hard and you have to sacrifice so much, like live up your single years. I would hear people say that to me, like as a single person, like when, you know, as mothers say that, like just enjoy your single years. And I think that, I don't know what you think about that, but if we're playing around with like what you just said and how like the real preparation that is going to serve us best is like to be immersed with other moms and to use like our maiden time to really be of service and also have learned, like learning their rhythms and how they have integrated motherhood into their womanhood. That's probably, you know, the whole idea of live up your single years and get the most out, like squeeze out the most you can until you're tied down as a mother. Like, it's probably not a helpful paradigm for young women. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. It just makes me think how much harder it's going to be a mother, because if you have really immersed yourself in, like, I didn't become a mom till 30. So I had all my 20s. And so I feel like it was harder for me because I had my attachment and identity to myself and all the great things and all the freedom. And it's like, I feel like the women who have a little bit more of an easeful transition or women who haven't had that much like single solo time. I don't know. I mean, there's pros and cons to doing it at every age, but yeah. I mean, what do you think about that? Like if you become a mother in your early 20s, you probably have a little bit of an easeful time because you don't have that comparison of, you know, freedom versus, and I don't think motherhood is being tied down. I hate that. You know, I hate that. The messaging around that, sad.
Yeah, I definitely don't think it's helpful when a mom, because I think it's almost a self-fulfilling prophecy too. Like when you go in with that mentality and then you're faced with this very new reality that can feel really shocking. I think it's like, oh yeah, this must be what everyone's talking about. Like it's so hard and all that. And it's harder to find where you can flourish in it. Like when you have that idea, like going into it and then you're in it and it's like challenging. Yeah. I just think it can cause you to kind of spiral down further. I do think there's something to what you're saying too, about those who come into motherhood maybe later and have had more time where, I mean, the biggest thing for me, which is interesting because I became an instant mom when I married my husband because he had a 3-year-old, but that relationship is very, very different than biological motherhood. So I feel like I have two initiations into it. But if I'm just talking about my son who I birthed, I immediately realized, I mean, for the first several months, everything I did was like not by myself. And just like the simplest things, because I'm someone who loves alone time. I'm very introverted. I love quiet. Like for me, getting to like sit outside and, you know, eat a meal without balancing a baby or having someone talk to me or something, like was really peaceful. Or even like my yoga practice that I was so used to doing every morning since I've had my son. There's so many where, you know, now he's old enough where he literally like sits on me while I'm doing all these things and, you know, looks at, you know, pokes my eye and looks at me. It's like coming to terms with like not really being in like what feels at this time, like not very much like an individual. That part was really shocking to me as a mother. And I mean, I don't know I mean, how else do you prepare than have someone poke you while you do yoga? I mean, I don't know. It's kind of one of those things, like, you won't know totally what it's like, but to have a baby depend on you for like their sustenance and their emotional support and their ability to sleep. I had never had someone in my entire life so dependent on me for everything. And I was listening to another couple. They both run podcasts and are very much in the like conscious relationship space. And they had, which was really interesting, they live on huge land. They have created an intentional community. The mom said, like, for at least an entire month, she never cooked, she never cleaned, kind of what the dream idyllic postpartum would be that a lot of women do not have, from what I know and like hear. But she said she still felt so shocked by the experience and even resentful towards her partner because of the physicality of bringing a child into, you know, the world, the physical demand that it is for a woman that your partner literally can't do. And I think like just the reality of, for me, not sleeping for an entire year, that's not my husband's story. Cause like, you know, my baby, we still co-sleep and he nurses still multiple times throughout the night. So like for an entire year, I've not slept through the night sort of thing. And that's a story of a lot of moms. So I think that, because I always thought if I had that village or whatever, we all think if we've had that village, we wouldn't feel as overwhelmed as mothers. But then it's like, okay, there's people talking about who literally have the perfect quote scenario, and they still feel the toll that motherhood takes, like on your body, your energy, and all of that. So, I mean, those people who did all the preparation right and thought, you know, they really were prepared and still shocked by it. I just don't know. Is there anything that really truly prepares you? I don't know. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is that maybe, you know, we're not supposed to be prepared. Maybe that's part of our initiation and that's okay to not be prepared. It's like, it's the mystery, it's the unknown. And like each child is so different. It will teach us different things. So there's just no way. So I'm trying to even think back for me. I mean, yeah, it's very similar to you. It's like the sleep deprivation that was so challenging. I was very used to sleeping 8 hours a night. That is still hard for me actually, because she's three and I still rarely get a full night of sleep. No one really told me about that would continue. There were many levels for me of stepping into motherhood fully and stopping longing for my old self. My partner's actually always been really, really helpful. I've delegated a lot to him. I thought when I was pregnant, I would be the mother that would be just, you know, like never handing my baby to anyone. Like, I've got this baby, you can do other things. Like, but I wasn't that at all. I was very happy to hand her over to someone that I loved, which I think is also very ancestral. So yeah, he helped from the beginning at nighttime because, you know, she'd wake up a lot of times and just kind of reject nursing. So at that time, I'd be like, okay, here you go. Here's the baby to my partner. So he really, at the sacrifice of his own well-being at work the next day, he really helped me not be so sleep deprived the next day. He's just a selfless person like that. And then even I remember at 5 weeks, I would still go out to a cafe for like an hour. And that's not how I thought it was going to be. I thought I was going to be just never leaving my baby at any time, but that's just how it was for me. And it worked out and it helped me with my sanity a little bit, but, the initiations, there were many times where there's all these like little memories. I don't know how much you want me to get into different things, but yeah, she actually, probably the biggest one was when she was 6 months old, she I was in the kitchen one day and she was out in the living room. And then I came out into the living room and she was face down on the floor and she had had a seizure. And so that, I mean, that's just like the worst thing you could possibly see. I didn't know what was going on. All I thought was that she was like face down on the floor. This is something I don't even often talk about, but it just comes to mind as something that was really important, obviously. So yeah, I called the ambulance. We had to do a 3-day hospital stay. That was a huge initiation for me in, first of all, just letting go, because I had a free birth and I had done everything naturally. And I had this idea that this would create a healthy child in a perfect situation. And I had to let go with like doctors and testing and giving her medicine and those kind of things. Like that was huge. And then also really the first time, like stepping into myself as a mother and realizing that I was like taking her for granted and spending a lot of those months just wishing I was somewhere else, and then really stepping in and know I'm a mother now. Like I'm her voice. I love this person like more than anything. This is like the ultimate test in protection and love. And it really did the same for my partner as well. And so yeah, she's healed from seizures after a year of medicine, and we did some natural remedies as well. Like she's perfect now. It was an infant condition, but that was like the most traumatizing initiation, but also like an interface with like the system that I never wanted to do. And I've really found my voice and my love through that. You know, you have to advocate for them. They're so small. So that was the first big one. And yeah, and just a real humbling as a mother, I think too. That really changed me.
Yeah, I don't know how it couldn't. That is so intense. I can't fathom like what that would have been like to walk into the room and see my son like that. And I mean, there's so many pieces of what you just shared that I can deeply relate to, in that, you know, I also had a free birth, and early on for my son, it was in the first like couple months, he had just what seemed like, intuitively, I felt like something wasn't right. And I don't know what that was, but he had breathing problems. And then up until he was like 6 months old, just terrible rashes all over his skin. And I felt so confused once again, because it's like, I had a very natural pregnancy, you know, no interventions, like totally natural birth, free birth at home. It's like, I thought that would produce a perfect child, you know, with no. Yeah. And so it's very humbling to realize, like, you know, yes, like as the mother, I felt responsible to do everything I could to have this container for him to enter the world that what felt, you know, I hate to overuse the word natural. So, but that felt the most harmonious with the earth and like all of that. But then, you know, he shows up and he's his own energetic system too. And he's reacting with the environment around him. And like, that was just a very interesting thing to walk through. And then what you also said about when you really stepped in, like, I am a mother now. I don't know about you, but when my baby was born, I didn't instantly feel like a mother. Like, it felt so weird for me to say the words, like, my son, to refer to him as like my son, because then that, in, you know, and so doing that, it assumes then like I'm his mother, you know, that I haven't even recognized like at what age I finally feel like it feels normal to say my son, or that I'm a mother. But it was not instantly. It was not the minute I held him in my arms. So that's a really interesting thing to think about, because nobody talks about that. You don't actually, for probably more women than just you and I, instantly feel like a mother, you know, when the baby's born.
That is true. Yeah, I always kind of felt like my mom was the mother or something. I don't know. Maybe that was it for me. And then she did pass. And then that was another, like, me stepping into the mother. But you're right. Yeah. You don't, it feels kind of weird to say that at first. I'm a mother. It's like, I don't know what that's about. Maybe that's a modern thing. I'm not sure. Maybe it's just part of, it could also just be like part of initiations, like different, you know, different aspects of it.
I think it makes so much sense because I know I had that when I like married my husband, thinking of myself as now like a partner or a wife or whatever you want to call that. It's like you're learning a new job. It's like what it feels like in so many ways and what it means. I mean, it changed my whole schedule of how I orient my day. I mean, like I do, like once I found my footing, I tried to bring back in some of the things that really helped ground me. But like, even like what time I took my walk in the morning or made my tea or my coffee or like when I showered, I mean, it like rearranged everything. And so I think it is just such a massive role to step into. It makes sense that you just don't instantly, like it takes time to sink into your system, I think, and like to get in your cells of like, oh, this is, I'm fully embodied in this role now. I mean, I think having a natural birth helps that. I think there are chemicals and things that like are flooding your system that helps that embodiment. But I mean, I had that free birth. So I had all of that, all of those, the benefit of all those hormones, but it still took time to really integrate too. So yeah, that's such an interesting thing and interesting to hear somebody. I've never really told anyone that. So it's so interesting to hear you like say it too. I'm like, oh, okay. That's not a unique to me experience. Just kind of comforting. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes me verbalize it too. I always kind of feel like the second child will, because I do feel like there are some aspects that I'm still holding on to maidenhood, like in a just a small way, that I feel like the second one will truly help me surrender fully into that role where I'm just embodying the mother, and that's my holy role. And there's so many aspects where I just, you know, I love my alone time, and you know, I don't know. Maybe that's just part of it too. You know, it's like we can hold both at the same time. It's not like we need to be around them 100% of the day to feel like a mother. But I think in my friends, I have witnessed in their second children, just a deeper embodiment of that role, which seems desirable to me.
Yeah. I wonder, like, it's such an actually philosophical exploration to think about, like, do we ever get away from that? Like, I don't know. I mean, I don't mean this in a derogatory way, but like the selfish desire to have some separate space to have. And maybe that is also growing up in an individualistic society where we really, really value that. But I know after reading, and I've heard you, I think you've mentioned on your podcast, reading Hunt Gather Parent, it really, I think in that book, she even talks about how when you show different shapes to people of different cultures, they see it differently because like a circle versus a square, there's not all of these boxed edges in some of these other cultures. And so they see things differently than like in our culture, we're very, everything's like in boxes basically. And in like a square.
Right.
And so
or
like,
houses.
Yeah. And so it makes me wonder, you know, is this even a concept if you're living in some tribe in Africa or in some of these other cultures? Or even I think of like here, we have stronger in Florida, we have stronger like Hispanic influence, and their sense of family and the way they come around each other is also very, very different than like what I grew up with. So I wonder, maybe they have a much easier time. Like maybe the concept of alone time and by yourself time is not a thing for them. I don't know. Like I'd have to go live there and really explore that. But I totally agree with you. Like the other thing about that though, is these other cultures also are not like the moms are hardly ever mothering in a nuclear family unit with nobody by them. You know, if you're a stay-at-home mom in America, it's not uncommon to like go an entire week without seeing anyone but your child and your partner. You know, it's like,
yeah.
And maybe you go to the grocery store, but that concept I think is tough because, you know, when I think about some of these other cultures where families live a lot closer together, and that's a really strong value of theirs to like live near each other, to take care of each other. And, you know, I wonder if those women even feel like the need for that less because they aren't doing everything single-handedly solo most of the time. So
yeah,
so I don't
that's
know.
A, Yeah. And then, I mean, every woman is different too, as far as how much alone time they want. Yeah. It's impossible to know what we would be like if we did grow up in that community.
In light of like what we've talked about and, you know, your thoughts on like, you know, even probably have shifted since becoming a mother of like how to prepare, quote, for like another child, because I think even in the natural world, so much of the emphasis, I would say natural world, but not deeply spiritual world, the emphasis is so much on like taking the right supplements and even maybe nutritional practices and stuff like that, which I do think impact the health of your child and all of that. But deeper than that, I know you have behind the scenes, you know, talked to me about how you are very intentionally preparing and kind of in this preconception phase for baby number two. I would love to hear more about what that is like, what is different than like what you did to prepare for baby number one. Could you just, yeah, share what's on your heart in that arena?
Yeah, I love this topic lately because it's just, yeah, I mean, I feel so immersed in it in my heart, and there's just, it's just one of the most exciting things to think about getting pregnant and just wondering like who a new person will be. It's just such a dreamy, special time. So I think the first thing for me was just making sure that my daughter was going to be old enough to where I wouldn't feel like I'm going to be taking care of two little ones. That sounded really, really hard to me. So I kind of just waited and waited and been preparing. And I'm pretty close now, I think, for us to actually be calling that child in. So I've had this spirit baby really hovering around me for a really long time, like years. So it's also exciting to just, you know, because it's, I don't know if you've connected much with like your, that exact spirit baby that you called in, but it's like, it's fun to just see the differences when they actually come earthside. Okay. So yeah, I did do a lot of physical things at one point, because I think maybe when my daughter was about two, I did really feel a sense of depletion. And now I've been kind of unpacking that a little bit, because I know you had Kristen Hauser on your podcast too, and she was on mine and talking about, you know, this kind of narrative of depletion that we have in our heads and how that could be feeding that physical sense. So as she said that, and I was starting to feel into that, I was kind of wondering like how much of this is me telling myself, oh, I'm so tired, I'm so depleted, versus what is the reality. So I'll never know. Cause I did take, you know, I did focus a little bit on like nourishing foods, and I ate a lot of meat for a period of time, and that's less than now. I don't feel like I need as much now. I did, I don't know if you know the root cause protocol. So I kind of followed a little bit of that advice as far as taking like magnesium, glycinate, and whole foods, vitamin C, and adrenal cocktails, and following some of that advice, you know, avoiding the lower quality forms of vitamins and things like that. I took cod liver oil for a time. I'd really just take a supplement for a period of time, and then I would feel like I didn't need it anymore, and I just let it go. So now I only really take vitamin C and magnesium. And then I don't know, after a few months of that, I was just feeling like I'm good. I'm fine. My body feels fine and good and healthy. And I've been doing some of my womb healing practices that I did the first time around with my daughter. So about 2 cycles before I had her, I was doing these intensive womb healing practices that I had taught women in my private sessions. So I did womb massage. I actually have that as a workshop on my website if anyone wants to buy it and follow along. I did, the first time around, I did castor oil packs and steaming pretty much like every other day. Now I'm doing womb massage, not every day, but because I feel like I'm in this window of like a few months away. So yeah, doing womb massage whenever probably most days, steaming once a week. I feel a real difference actually in my womb this time versus last time, because I feel like there's a really regenerative nature to pregnancy and birth. It's very cleansing and healing. And so everything just feels really like cleared out and healthy and vibrant compared to the first time where it was like I was preparing for the first time. I think I just let a lot of the preconception practices go after the first few months of feeling like I was healing that depletion that I had felt. Because my hair was starting to come in like gray, like just more and more grays. Just, yeah, there were like physical and mental aspects of that. I know I'm jumping around a lot.
Those were some of the things you noticed when you were talking about when your daughter was two and you were feeling depleted?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It could have been my mom had passed around that time. So there was just so much trauma around that. I think that was probably a lot of it, unless the pregnancy and birth, because I did feel pretty good after I had her. But anyway, it's all kind of related. I know there's an aspect that of remineralizing that needs to happen because we give out so much of our stores to that child. And I've really wanted to ensure that, especially since my daughter had the seizures, there's always that question of like, did she not get something in the womb? Like what, it could be a spiritual cause, who knows? So I've been a little more intentional about, repleting those nutrients. So yeah, I did that. And now I'm in this phase of doing some womb healing, womb connecting work, but not as much as the first time. Yeah. And then just a lot of spirit baby meditations and connections and just feeling that soul in my kind of field right now, as opposed to before when they were a little further away. Those are kind of the main things that I've been doing.
I recently have been getting really into the topic of spirit babies. So that's like, oh, that's so cool to think about.
Do you feel one?
It's interesting. Like I had no concept of that prior to conceiving my first, but I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if this, I want to do more reading and stuff on spirit babies, but I was so certain that he was a girl because I had had visions of like, before I was pregnant, I had visions of this daughter. And then once I was pregnant, I started to have a lot of dreams about like my son. But what's really interesting is like now that he's born and, you know, in the world and all of that, and I know he's so like perfect, I've started to have dreams about my daughter again. And recently she told me her name and it was like clear as, I mean, she, it could not be more clear. So I'm like, it's so interesting to see like when you start interacting with them and then when they actually, because I know now is not at all the time for her to come through, but it's, I don't know. It's so neat to have that connection. I'm curious for you with the second baby, do you like, have you had connection with your spirit babies prior to your first? Like, do you know how many spirit babies you have? If you want to share, like, I'm just curious what that dynamic has been like for you.
Yeah. Yeah. So when my partner and we did kind of a spiritual marriage ceremony and then we went, so it was alone in nature. And then we flew to LA to this tattoo studio where this woman does, she's an amazing artist. She has an oracle deck and she does hand poke tattooing. And so she'll do a card reading with you. And then, you know, you're holding a crystal as she does this meditation. And then she uses the crystal on the end of the hand poke to do the tattoo. So we did our wedding rings tattooed on our our hands there. We have two different ones, but anyway, so she, part of her reading was, you know, she was talking about these three flames that she sees in our lives. And that corroborated what I had already seen. And I had this really strong vision before that of me holding these three little children near a river. And that's when I really connected to three. And I've had losses. So I'm open to the mystery that maybe, who knows, who knows really. So I do feel connected to three. We'll see what happens, of course. Yeah, I've always felt like my connection point to them was really just like through physically connecting to my womb. Like that is the portal to our lineage, our ancestors, our future children. And that's always been the easiest entry point for me to feel connected to them. Like when I'm just my hands on my womb and my heart and dropping into that space, or, you know, massaging, that's when like I'll feel the energy of them around me. And it's so sweet. I remember anytime a woman would come to me who is like close to conceiving, and then sometimes when they weren't even coming for that, I would always feel like a little spirit baby in the room. And it's just this really playful, really playful, fun energy. And I think if a woman longs for a child, that there is one near her. And I think a lot of women get kind of tripped up about the spirit baby thing. Like if they're not connecting to one, or they put a lot of pressure or something. It's just, I just feel like they're there with you if you want to have a child, and you can connect with them or not. Eventually they're going to come earthside and you're going to know them. And it's just, I don't know, it's just a fun thing for women who have that intuition around them.
Yeah. I'm curious for you, because you touched on a little bit that you have experienced pregnancy loss. Has infertility been a part of your journey? Is that something that you are wrestling with going into your second? What was it like getting pregnant with your first? Like, could you share more about that?
Yeah, no, I mean, I honestly have been too fertile, I think, because the three times my partner has like ejaculated inside of me, I've gotten pregnant. One of them was a miscarriage, and that is also a mystery as to why that happened, of course, but I do think it was because I had a fall on ice and I slipped and hit my sacrum, and then I miscarried a couple of days later. So I think that was what that was about. I think it's all in perfect timing. It was devastating at first, of course. But now I see the perfectness of it all. I think, yeah. And then the second one was a pregnancy that I released myself, and my daughter was 7 months old. So that was a conscious choice. I think so many women, like myself included, do feel just there's always that fear, you know, right? In these modern times, like so many women express to me, like, oh, I think I'm infertile, or I wonder if I might not get pregnant so easily. Like that's my fear too, because it was so easy the other times. I wonder if that might not be my story. Yeah. It has been blessedly simple for me though so far. Yeah.
What is your kind of dream and vision for your pregnancy and birth? Do you intend to have another free birth? What's kind of your desire for that? And I mean, no doubt it's probably going to look different now that you have a little one as well, a 3-year-old, while you're pregnant. But like, yeah, what are you dreaming about in that area?
Thanks for asking. It's so fun to think about. Yeah, there, like the biggest worry on my mind is just being able to enjoy it as much as I did the first time, because it's like, as you know, it's, you know, you have another child. It's, well, yeah. And we talked about on my podcast how you didn't really get to enjoy that first time in the same way that, you know, a maiden would, in the sense of all the free time and the sleep and the dreaming and all the things that come up. So I just had such a great time the first time. It's just, Yeah, I just worry about not getting the sleep I need and enjoying it as much. But I'm so excited to birth again. It's just the ultimate transformation and just releasing of who you were and stepping into a better version of yourself, hopefully, usually, you know. So I don't know. I've connected a lot lately that I would like a woman there. And then this idea has come to me lately that just keeps nagging on me just to be alone. So I don't know. I'm going to feel into what that, yeah, what feels right at the time and not being guided by fear. And just trying to follow my intuition, because there is a lot more at stake now. I think my feeling is always like, I trust life and I trust what is meant to happen will happen. But like a loss is one of the most devastating things that can happen to a woman. And yeah, I have this other child to take care of. It's like, it's very different. I think in the first pregnancy, there's so much of this element of blind faith and being naive, which is so beautiful. It really does carry you through it. But now it's like, I know how intense birth is. I know how intense that is, and you know how much I will need for postpartum. And yeah, so a lot more focus now for me on like postpartum. I think that's all of the preparation that I'm gonna need to do. And then pregnancy will just unfold how it will. I'm looking forward to that. That was one of the best times of my life to be pregnant. So I think, yeah, I've definitely passed into the perfect phase of where I'm just really excited to do it again. And I forgot the difficult parts. So it's just perfect. I'm just entering into it with this, like, you know, that just primal, just really strong desire, which is, that's where you want to be, because, you know, pregnancy can be a lot. So you need to have that really, really strong desire.
I think, yeah, there's something to be said for giving your body and your mind and spirit like a period of like rest or breathing between pregnancies, because I agree that it feels still, like for me at least, so it feels so close and not fully resolved, like all the things that were stirred up in the first round of it, that I think that it would serve me better to give more space, so that, like you said, the more time, like you feel like you can enter it afresh and with that level of kind of just like excitement again. And I think there's something really beneficial to that as well for the body and the mind, and you know, the marathon that it can be too. So that seems really wise. I'm curious, you said that you've kind of been doing this dance with the idea of like, do I want a woman there, be by myself? With your first free birth, were you completely alone, or was your partner very much like actively a part of that process with you? I'm just, yeah, curious what alone means.
Well, so yeah, the first time he was there in the very beginning, I think I learned this about myself, that in times of, I don't know, I don't think scared is the right word, but just in times of, you know, feeling more vulnerable and open, I like to have people right there. And then I also discovered that, you know, it's like, for me, I tend to, it tends to be a harder experience though. Like I'll complain more and I'll just feel more comfortable in that way. And then when I'm alone, I really do find my strength. So that's my desire next time, to think about, you know, an experience where I can truly rise in my strength, feel the discomfort of, you know, only having myself to rely on. Yeah, just how that will change me as a mother. The first time, yeah, I had my partner, and then we called in a friend to come, and then yeah, she had to go back home after a day to go nurse her baby. And then my husband suggested calling in this unlicensed traditional midwife that I had met a few days prior, and she just really showed up as like a sister, not as a midwife role. But yeah, like I, you know, and I needed and desired that at the time, and I was grateful and really touched by all that, you know, just free sisterly support. But I also feel like I leaned on them so much that I didn't get to really feel like, you know, I did it. So I'm always torn between, like, you know, it's very ancestral to have our sisters and our friends and our mom and all these people with us. But I also think so many of us, well, a very small percentage in the pre-birth community, you know, we long for truly what it would, this idea that we would come into our power by doing it alone. So I kind of see both sides. I like the idea of doing it alone. I wonder how it would unfold differently if I was really just internal and didn't have anyone else to look to. So I don't know. Lately, I've been holding that as an idea and an ideal. How do you feel like about all of that and what you would desire? Do you think it that we can come more into our power if we're truly alone, or is that just part of our individualistic culture?
Yeah, I mean, I think we touched on this a little bit when I was on your podcast, but I think there is an element. I do think it's pretty rare ancestrally that, like, you see or you these pictures or read these stories of women by them. I know it happened, but of like completely by themselves. It's more like you said, the women of the village are all around them, supporting them. I know I experienced, so when labor actually got really, like, really picked up and I was deeply, deeply in it, you know, it was in the middle of the night. And so my partner would, like, we were in our bedroom, he would like sleep, which made me so mad. Like, he would sleep, and then if I like needed him, I would like wake him up and he'd wake up for a little bit and then sleep again. And so, like, that like frustration for me was probably not helpful. So in that case, it's like I should have just gone probably in a different room by myself and just dealt with it, because it was like the idea of like he's there but he's not helping me or whatever. I do think that maybe it's who you have around you that makes that difference of like, can you only step into that power if you're truly alone, or is it who's around you and what are they doing and saying that makes that possible?
Yeah, that's huge.
So yeah. And I know I definitely, because my mom and my husband were there, then when it got super active and I moved into more of like the transition and pushing phase, they were, you know, nobody's sleeping. They're both full on. And I did have that sense of like, I felt that desperation kind of like save me energy of like, I don't know, that felt tough. I would say in like the sense of, I didn't want to feel that. I didn't want to feel like I needed somebody to save me from labor, but I, because they were there, it was like, can't you guys save me? You know, kind of thing.
Right. And that's kind of what it is. Yeah.
If they hadn't been there, I would have been like, this is it. I mean, you think about how, like, yeah, I've several times sprained my ankle, like on a hike by myself, and it somehow I got home, you know, it's like, I got home by myself somehow. Wow. and then like, I've had other hikes where I've sprained my ankle and I'm with my husband and I want him to carry me back to the car. You know? Yeah. Like, so I think there is that quality of like, you dig in when you are truly alone, like you dig in and it's like, I'm going to source this from within. And like, if you have a belief in like relationship to like an outside bigger spiritual concept, like me and source are going to journey through this by ourselves. I think, I mean, I don't think there's a right or wrong, but I definitely think it would be a very different experience for me. And I do, I play around with that. Like, you know, who do I want, if anyone there, kind of thing. And I think I will also know once I'm there, like you said, like you're starting to already kind of get the sense, like what feels right. And it probably, I mean, having gone through birth, I think it will, I now know I don't need to be saved from it. Like, it's a process that has completion. Like, you know, I later, like the things that I thought when I was in the middle of labor, like thinking like, you know, what am I going to, like, the baby's just going to be stuck here forever, like half in, half out or whatever. Like, we know that doesn't actually happen, you know? So it's like, I now, having gone through labor, know that it does eventually end. It has for every person, you know, labor never has lasted forever. So I don't know. I think some of those things help with the mental game, having some experience under your belt too. I don't think it should be like this. I think what troubles me a little bit is like this badge of honor of like, to be a true wild free birthing person, you have to do it completely by yourself. I think that to me, that kind of feels like the wrong reason to do it. Like it somehow makes a more powerful woman, or I don't know. I think that could be problematic, that mentality, but I mean,
because we all do it by ourselves, even if there's other people around us, like we
100%.
Do it. Yeah. I hear you on that. It's something we all definitely think about in this community of what feels right. Yeah, I love the sprained ankle story. I'm the same way. I'm just like, I'm going to complain if you're around me. So I really don't want to complain, because then I'm going to start to internalize this is difficult. So, you know, we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we have covered so much terrain. It's been really fun getting to talk about all of this with you. And there's like so many other things I know would, you know, so many other directions with motherhood and parenting we could go that would lead to really lively discussion too. So maybe we'll save that for a later date, but I would love to hear how we as a community, the Crunchy Mom Club, could support you and the work that you're doing in the world and on your mothering path. Like what could we do to be a support to you?
Yeah, if any woman loves these kind of conversations, they can tune into my podcast, Rooted Woman, and you are going to be on there probably in the first couple episodes of the season coming up on the equinox. So that's a great conversation to tune into. And then currently I have my book up on Amazon. I'll give you the link. It's called Pelvic Awakening. It's all these different tools and techniques for a woman who wants to begin or deepen on her womb and pelvic healing journey. And then if she wants to know that massage routine that I used to teach women in sessions, I'll give you the link for that workshop as well. It's really affordable. It's about $50 and just is such a powerful, potent, but very simple routine, just a really good foundation for a self-care practice if a woman is wanting to start but doesn't really know where to begin. So those are the ways to connect with me.
Awesome. Well, thank you. I will make sure everyone has those details so they can follow along. And your podcast is so beautiful too. I really enjoy listening to it, and I'm excited for this next season for you. And just thank you for sharing your time and your heart and, you know, the depths of some of the things that you've been through as a mother. It's such a journey. And I know sharing our stories can be really powerful and supportive, so that we don't forget that it's a collective. It's not a solo journey. And I think that's important to remember on the days that feel more intense. So thank you so much for being here, Bethany.
Thank you, Erica, for having me. I'm just really glad to be connected with you and to, just thank you so much. I'm excited to keep tuning into your podcast and continuing to follow you.